Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So the devotees welcome. Today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter 3, verse 14. How do you, usually you write? You read from the book, right? Okay.
Anad bhavanti bhutani. Parjanyadana sambhava. Yagyad bhavati parjanya. Yagya karma samudbhava. Anad bhavanti bhutani. Parjanyadana sambhava. Yagya bhavati parjanya. Yagya karma samudbhava.
Please repeat.
Anad bhavanti bhutani. Parjanya dana sambhava. Yagya bhavati parjanya. Yagya karma samudbhava. Anad bhavanti bhutani. Parjanyat sana sambhava. Yagyat bhavati parjanyo. Yagya karma samudbhava. Anad bhavanti bhutani. Parjanya dana sambhava. Yajnat bhavati parjanyam. Yagyat karma samudbhava. Anad bhavanti bhutani. Parjanya dana sambhava. Yagyat bhavati parjanyo. Yagya karma samudbhavaha. Anat
from grains.
Pavanti
grow.
Bhutani
the material bodies.
Parjanyat
from rains.
Ana
of food grains.
Sambhava
production.
Yagyat
from the performance of sacrifice.
Bhavati
becomes possible.
Parjanya
rain.
Yagya
performance of yagya.
Karma
prescribed duties.
Samudbhava,
born of. Translation. All living bodies subsist on food grains, which are produced from rains. Rains are produced by performance of yagya, sacrifice, and yagya is born of prescribed duties. Please repeat. All living bodies subsist on food grains, which are produced from rains. Rains are produced by performance of yagya. And yagya is born of prescribed duties.
Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Srila Bali Vidyabhushana, a great commentator on the Bhagavad Gita, writes as follows. Ye indradi angatayavashtitam yagyam sarveshvaram vishnum abhyacharya tachesham ashnanti tena tadeha yatram sampadayanti te santa sarveshvarasya yagya purushasya bhakta sarva kilvishaya anadi kala vivridaya atmanubhava pratibandakar nikilai papaya vimuchyante. The Supreme Lord, who is known as the Yagya Purusha, or the personal beneficiary of all sacrifices, is the master of all the demigods who serve him as the different limbs of the body serve the whole. Demigods like Indra, Chandra, and Varuna are appointed officers who manage material affairs. And the Vedas direct sacrifices to satisfy these demigods so that they may be pleased to supply air, light, and water sufficiently to produce food grains. When Lord Krishna is worshipped, the demigods who are different limbs of the Lord are also automatically worshipped. Therefore, there is no separate need to worship the demigods. For this reason, the devotees of the Lord, who are in Krishna consciousness, offer food to Krishna and then eat, a process which nourishes the body spiritually. By such action, not only are past sinful reactions in the body vanquished, but the body becomes immunized to all contamination of material nature. By such action, not only are past sinful reactions in the body vanquished, but the body becomes immunized to all contamination of material nature. When there is an epidemic disease, an antiseptic vaccine protects a person from the attack of such an epidemic. Similarly, food offered to Lord Vishnu and then taken by us makes us sufficiently resistant to material affection, and one who is accustomed to this practice is called a devotee of the Lord. Therefore, a person in Krishna consciousness who eats only food offered to Krishna can counteract all reactions of past material infections, which are impediments to the progress of self-realization. On the other hand, one who does not do so continues to increase the volume of sinful action, and this prepares the next body to resemble hogs and dogs, to suffer the resultant reactions of all sins. The material world is full of contaminations, and one who is immunized by accepting prasadam of the Lord, food offered to Vishnu, is saved from the attack, whereas one who does not do so becomes subjected to contamination. Food grains or vegetables are factually eatables. The human being eats different kinds of food grains, vegetables, fruits, etc., and the animals eat the refuse of the food grains and vegetables, grass, plants, etc. Human beings who are accustomed to eating meat and flesh must also depend on the production of vegetation in order to eat the animals. Therefore, ultimately, we have to depend on the production of the field and not on the production of big factories. The field production is due to sufficient rain from the sky, and such rains are controlled by demigods like Indra, Sun, Moon, etc., and they are all servants of the Lord. The Lord can be satisfied by sacrifices. Therefore, one who cannot perform them will find himself in scarcity. This is the law of nature. Yagya, specifically the Sankirtan Yagya prescribed for this age, must therefore be performed to save us at least from scarcity of food supply. All living bodies subsist on food grains, which are produced from rains. Rains are produced by performance of yagya, and yagya is born of prescribed duties. Om agyana timrandasya agyana agyana chalaka chakshur unmilitam yena tasme shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya manobhishtam stapitam yena bhutale svam rupa kadamayam tadati svapadantika vandeham shri guru shri yuta padakamalam shri gurum vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Shri Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye
Panchakalpaturubhyascha kripa sindubhya evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivashadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare.
Dear devotees, thank you for coming and giving me the opportunity to speak a little bit about our wonderful transcendental matters. When I read this verse, I was thinking in which way it corresponds to our reality, how we can connect this verse with our everyday reality, because we know that knowledge has to become practical that knowledge is practical, but it really has to become practiced in our lives. It really has to become relevant. It has to be relevant. So sometimes when we start reading about rains and demigods, it doesn't necessarily immediately seem relevant, even though it is. And that is partially due to what Srila Prabhupada speaks in the second part of the... He mentions that the civilization is... that we are dependent on field production, not on big factories. But... it is a fact that in this age we are very much a little bit, how do you call that, alienized from the natural environment, and therefore it is sometimes difficult for us to perceive how much we are actually dependent on just natural elements. And as I was walking with somebody the other day, we were speaking about that. We were in the forest, and we were speaking how natural it is to remember Krishna while you're in the nature. So not only to remember Krishna, but to remember the whole system. Because we see that Bhagavad Gita shows us, I mean, who of us could have imagined the whole hierarchy of how material world works without actually getting this knowledge from a higher source. So when we get this knowledge, we see that there is a whole mechanism behind how things work in this material universe, because it's a very complex situation. So there is a Supreme Lord, who is the Parameshvara, but there are many demigods who are his servants, and who manage, as Srila Prabhupada here says, they manage material affairs. So this is the thing that they do. Because if you have a head of big company who will not go and make copies and do little things in the company, but still he will be affecting by his presence every person in that company. So this is what we learn. This is what we learn from Srila Prabhupada and our acharyas. We learn the system, how things work. So we know there are demigods, and each of the demigods is responsible for a particular department. So he speaks here how, and also we know this is a kind of verse that a little bit reflects our dependence, because we are at the moment situated in this material body, and this material body has its own laws. And as the verse says, it grows on grains, which is actually factually known in Ayurveda or in any medicine. Ayurveda speaks about this. The grains are the thing that builds the body. And for example, kids, they have to eat a lot of grains because they have to grow. So we can see in practice how this works. You have to eat grains. Otherwise, I saw once some devotees, they made this a little bit kind of a horror movie about Ekadashi, how devotees became a little bit at the end of the day, because they didn't have grains. They become so nervous. And the fact is that for us, one day without grains is really not such a big deal. But can you imagine if you don't have grains? Actually, your body cannot function properly in a normal state. So we are quite dependent on grains, and these grains are dependent on rains. So we know that if rain doesn't come for even for one, not one whole year, but for one small season, like one summer or something, everything is completely, in the whole country, immediately destroyed. We have all of this materialists. I mean, many people in the world are working on improving the quality of crops, they're modifying genetically. But if there is not rain only for one summer, everything is dead. Whether your crops are like this or like that, everything is finished. So, and these rains are controlled by the Lord, and it was happening. And the next point here, the third line says that the rains are dependent on sacrifices. So in the classical Vedic system, the demigods, there are certain traditional ways of sacrifices that you do for the demigods. And in this way, they can maintain their life, and they bestow this, they bestow material blessings. They give sufficient air, light, sun, because this is all important. But we also know that, yes, but we also we also have information here that they are all, Srila Prabhupada always compares demigods to the limbs of a body, because body has many different parts, but really the head and the heart is what is it all for? It's all meant for. So there is always a supreme Ishvara in everything, and this represents the Lord. So this analogy is given, and demigods are compared to the limbs. So it's understood that if one feeds the body through the mouth and stomach, all the limbs will naturally get healthy, all the limbs will naturally be satisfied. So Srila Prabhupada makes this point. If you satisfy Krishna, you have done it all. Like if you, like he says, if you have a big ocean, you have satisfied the needs of a small well. If you have something big, something small is naturally being done, that is connected. So he makes this point. We don't necessarily we don't need to worship demigods if we worship Krishna. And then he further makes the point that our process for worshiping Krishna in this day and age is really the Sankirtan Yagya. And that is really the way how we attain everything. So I was thinking a little bit even about how it seems at the end, it seems that this verse a little bit promotes, I mean, it doesn't, but it may seem like that, that this verse promotes certain fruitive approach to the, let's say, holy name or the performance of Sankirtan Yagya. But factually, if one is taking a process, then one takes shelter in this process, whatever the situation is. So that doesn't mean that, oh, I need something, therefore I will perform the process. But I take shelter of the process, and then whatever it is, I will obtain it. So there were some examples actually in India quite recently, maybe last 5 or 10 years. And in certain states, they didn't. Especially there was this story. I couldn't find the article, but I remember I was reading this maybe 3 years ago or something. There was a massive drought in one state in India. The whole state didn't have rain for more than a year. So when you have a situation like that, it's finished, you know. And the thing is that if you have that situation for longer than a year, then you already use all the reserves in the whole country, you know. If you don't have new crops, then you eat all the reserves from all the shops. So after 2 years, you have nothing. You don't have new grains and you don't have any reserves. So it's a serious problem. So then the government tried to do everything to solve this problem, but they couldn't. I mean, it is interesting, so many endeavors, but at the end, if you have a big volcano or a big tsunami, you know, how much, or earthquake, how much can we do, you know, so dependent. So they didn't know what to do, and at the end, because they really tried everything, the devotees came and they say, you know, in the scriptures this and this is written, and you should maybe try this because nothing else works. And this is actually what God himself is saying that you should do, so why don't you give it a try? You don't have anything to lose, you're already starving. So actually they did Sankirtan Yagya on a massive level of the state, where not only devotees of the Hare Krishna movement or devotees generally were included, but actually everyone took participation because everybody was so concerned with the situation. It was an alarming state. And after this massive harina, which it was like, I don't know, 10,000 people or more, like tomorrow the rain came. Like right the day after a year of more than a year, they didn't have rain. So actually everybody could see it, and that was 2000 something. And it was in the local news, and you know, but I mean, how much this news can cross the world? But this was an actual situation that just happened. This was in India, in one of the states in India. Because also in India, it's a little bit easier to explain to the government that maybe they should try this. and they actually did it. So we can see that this process actually works. Even in, it's not something that is theoretically in this book that was spoken 5,000 years ago. It's much more than that. There were other things in this purport that I found very interesting, besides from the technical aspect of the verse, how we are completely maintained and dependent on the mercy of the Lord. And that was the Srila Prabhupada's, the way that he accents or underlines the fact that if you offer that one of our sacrifices, he mentions two sacrifices in this verse. One is offering food to Krishna, and the other one is Sankirtan Yagya. So regarding this sacrifice of offering food to Krishna, Srila Prabhupada gives some really, really optimistic statements. And he says that the body becomes immunized to all contaminations of material nature. He says that body is spiritually nourished, the sinful reactions in the body are vanquished. Practically what he is saying, you can achieve ultimate perfection by just taking Krishna prasadam. And that is true. And sometimes it seems so that it's such a simple thing, but it's easy to neglect the simple things like that. Like Srila Prabhupada said, Krishna consciousness is so simple that you might miss it, because you will expect so. So now we are at the moment fortunate enough to be living, to be spending time in this Krishna conscious community, where by mercy of Sri Radha Gopinath, we are practically being fed every day Krishna prasadam. But all of us will be in situations that we're not in such a situation, and it's a big, it actually becomes a big struggle. Especially if one works or one maintains some kind of many duties, then it's actually quite a principle that we need to preserve. Okay, you're doing this in such a way. And regarding this also, what I wanted to say, yes, Srila Prabhupada speaks how contamination is everywhere in the material world, but if one takes shelter of Krishna prasadam in the sense that he's only taking Krishna prasadam, he becomes immunized. But just this one thing, you just take shelter. I mean, of course, that doesn't mean, okay, I'll just take prasadam, I'll never chant again. That it's understood. That is understood. But the point is that it's such a powerful thing. And actually, we can see how Srila Prabhupada appreciated every limb or every aspect of Krishna consciousness was important. And sometimes it says bhakti is adherence to details. Like everything is important, how you do it. So it's also important how we approach this offering of food to Krishna, because there are not so many things that are so, how do you call that, present everywhere, like food. They're present everywhere, both in material and the spiritual world. And the spiritual world, the food is spiritualized. And we're having this chance to transform things from material to spiritual. And this is what Srila Prabhupada speaks in. There is this verse, it's 4:24, and it says, a person who is fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness is sure to attain the spiritual kingdom because of his full contribution to spiritual activities, in which the consummation is absolute and that which is offered is of the same spiritual nature. Which means that the result of the offering is completely spiritual. And he says, Srila Prabhupada makes such nice points. Here he says, the materially absorbed conditioned soul can be cured by Krishna consciousness as set forth here in the Gita. This process is generally known as Yagya. He speaks about the same topic still. Or activities simply meant for the satisfaction of Krishna. The more the activities of the material world are performed in Krishna consciousness or for Vishnu only, the more the atmosphere becomes spiritualized by complete absorption. So this is the important thing, by complete absorption. He says, everything that exists is situated in the Brahma Jyoti, but when this Jyoti is covered by illusion of sense gratification, it is called material. The material veil can be removed at once by Krishna consciousness, thus... Yes, he says, He says, matter dovetailed for the cause of the absolute truth regains its spiritual quality. So this is the principle. If you take something that is apparently material because it's covered, and you engage it spiritually, everything that thing regains its spiritual nature, which is its original nature, which is a very interesting philosophical, practically what Srila Prabhupada is saying, that there is nothing material except the consciousness that covers thing in a material way, and that is the consciousness of sense gratification. So that is what he's saying. And if we don't have this consciousness, then everything, and we approach everything with spiritual consciousness with the intention to please, then everything regains its spiritual quality, which is a very accommodating philosophy in one sense. And it's a simple thing. In any case, I found interesting this level of absorption that is mentioned, because Srila Prabhupada says at the end of the verse, he says, we should perform Sankirtan Yagya, and he refers also, he says Sankirtan Yagya, but really all the yagyas, at least to get the level to not be in scarcity. He says that is the minimum. At least we should approach the Lord to not be in scarcity. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that there are four things why the living entities, there are basically four motives why the living entities approach the Lord. He says that they approach the Lord out of fear, and they approach the Lord out of desire. They approach the Lord out of duty, or out of, gratitude for something that is already being given. But there is another thing, is that is a natural attraction. That is the fifth thing. So we can see how Srila Prabhupada says that at least for protection we can approach the Lord. But really, if we see all the purports here in the Gita and generally the whole philosophy, really what Srila Prabhupada wants us to get is to do things in love. Because he was always, it is always stressed, offer this with love, do this with love. And this offering, and specifically here we're speaking about offering of foodstuffs to Krishna, if it's done with proper meditation, with love, it's such a purifying, it's such an absorbing thing. I mean, it can, complete absorption. This is what Mother Yashoda spends half of her time doing. Just cooking for Krishna with complete absorption. This is what Srimati Radharani, the topmost devotee in all the planetary system, spends half of her day practically doing. So it's not just a big thing. It's not just a small thing. It's not just something that we do just because we need to eat. It is actually something that can completely absorb meditation on how to please the Lord. And I wanted to conclude with... there is a poem that Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote. It's a series of poems about... it's called Prasada Sevaya, the service to the holy Prasadam of the Lord. And this song... have been ritualized in the Hare Krishna movement. That means we took a song and we made it into a little ritual that we sing it before we take prasadam. And there's one thing that happens often with things that are being ritualized, and that is that are occasionally done mechanically, without really so much absorption in the meaning of the song. So I wanted to read with you the whole song. I'm sorry I didn't make copies. I had a very busy day. And we have first two parts here, and the next three parts I'll read from here. Sorry, but you can, if you want, we can read these three parts together, because we do have these songs of the Vaishnava Acharyas. And if you want to give us song books that we can actually even sing these songs and read a little bit about the meaning, because the meaning is wonderful. It brings the points that Srila Prabhupada makes in this purport even further, because I always think about how do these verses relate to us, how they become actual in real life, how they become real. So it's page 45, sorry. So we will sing this song with the tune of song. Is it time to end? With the tune of song Gurudev, okay? So if you want, we can call in response. Just one second. Vaire Sharira Vidyajal Jyotendriya. Okay, like this. I'll sing the first, like it has one, two, and down three, and then one, two, and down three. So I'll sing the first three, and then we repeat this three little, and then the second part.
Sharira Vidyajal Jyotendriya Tahe Kahal Jive Pele Vishaya Sagore. Sharira vidya jal jodendriya tahe kal jive pele vishaya sagore dharmatya jivatihi lobhamoy sudurmatihi take jeta katina samsare dharmatya jivatihi lobhamoy sudurmatihi Take jeta katina samsare.
Oh, brothers, this material body is a network of ignorance, and the senses are one's deadly enemies, for they throw the soul into this ocean of material sense enjoyment. Amongst those senses, the tongue is most voracious and uncontrollable. It is very difficult to control the tongue in this world.
Krishna paro doyamoy koribare jivajai svaprasadana dilobai. Krishna paro doyamoy koribare jivajai svaprasadana dilobai. Sehi anamrita paradha Krishna gunaga. Premeda ko chaitanya nitai Seya namrita paradha Krishna gunaga Premeda ko chaitanya nitai.
Oh, brothers, Lord Krishna is very merciful and has given us the remnants of his own food just to control the tongue. Now please accept the nectarian Krishna Prasad and sing the glories of their lordships Shri Radha and Krishna, and in love call out Chaitanya Nitai.
Bhaire Ekadina Shantipure Prabhu Advaite Ragare Dui Prabhu Bhojane Bosilo. Bhaire Ekadina Shantipure Prabhu Advaita Ragare Dui Prabhu Bhojane Bosilo. Shakoriya Svadana Prabhu Bole Bhaktagana Eishak Krishna Svadilo. Shakoriya Svadana Prabhu Bole Bhaktagana Hey Shaka Krishna Svadilam.
Oh, brothers, one day at Shantipur in Sri Advaita's house, Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda were seated for lunch. When Lord Chaitanya tasted the green leafy vegetables, he said, "Oh, my devotees, this shak is so delicious. Lord Krishna has definitely tasted it."
Heno shaka svadane Krishna prema isemane sei preme koro asvadana. Heno shaka svadane Krishna prema isemane sei preme koro asvadana. Jada budi parihari prasada bojana kari. Hari Hari Bolo Sarvajan. Jada Budi Parihari Prasada Bhojana Kari. Hari Hari Bolo Sarvajan.
So Lord Chaitanya says, "At the taste of such shak as this, love of Krishna arises in the heart. In such love of God, you should taste this prasad. Giving up all materialistic conceptions and taking the Lord's prasad, all of you just chant, Hari, Hari. So we can see that devotees, I'm not gonna, because it's 8:15, I'm not gonna go further with this song. But we can see how devotees, how Lord Chaitanya so much appreciated Krishna Prasadam, and he really saw it as something coming from Krishna. Krishna Prasadam was not just food, it's something, it's like if you have a relationship with someone and you haven't seen that person for many, many years, and that person sends you a meal, you don't think, oh, I just want to fill my belly. You actually think about the person. So we can see that Lord Chaitanya, when he sees Shak, he thinks about Krishna. And he sees love that is put into these preparations. He totally has a spiritual vision of the whole thing. And actually in Chaitanya Bhagavat, he speaks about this Shak, because Mother Sachi, who sees him after first time after he took sannyas, she cooks for him these 20 different preparations of shak. And Lord Chaitanya comes and says, by eating this shak, one will have association of devotees lifetime after lifetime. By eating this kind of shak, the person will attain pure love of Godhead. By eating this kind of shak, the person will become free from all diseases and attain ultimate perfection. So we see how these super powerful blessings, like in the next of this song, Bhaktivinoda Thakur have written that Madhavendra Puri was taking Krishna Prasadam, and he was telling to the sannyasis how just by eating this prasadam that must have been tasted by Krishna, we will obtain the perfection that the yogic yogis spend all their lifetimes to obtain. And I was thinking, what is that perfection? And that really is samadhi. And samadhi means absorption in the ultimate goal. And just by tasting this, we have seen. You know, devotees, sometimes, I'm sure that everybody had this experience at least once. There was one festival in your life, and everything was so much vibrant with spiritual energy. All the devotees were in the service mood, and they were cooperating. There were these wonderful preparations for Krishna. And after eating this prasad, all devotees became ecstatic. And everybody, because we always see in pastimes of Lord Chaitanya how devotees do two things. They sing, and then they take prasad. And then they sing, and then they take prasad. And Lord Chaitanya always speaks, take this prasadam and sing the holy name. And when they read the descriptions, we see that in descriptions of Gaura Lila, the devotees would eat and scream in the middle of meals. They would be Gauranga in the middle of the meal, because they were so ecstatic. So it's not that they were lusty over food. They were actually completely taking shelter of prasadam and developing attachment to Krishna through taking this sanctified food. So thank you very much. I was actually thinking that I don't have anything to say, and I'll finish in 10 minutes, but it's already 8:15. So if there's any comments, corrections, questions, you can please ask. Which verse? From Bhagavad Gita? 424 is a verse that speaks about how different elements of sacrifice are all Brahman. Like, yeah, so offering anything to Krishna is a sacrifice. So not only that Krishna is Param Brahman, but actually every element of that sacrifice is also Brahman. So that was the point. Kirtaniya Sadahari. Okay, anything else? Or we should just let the Sankirtan Yagya go on? Okay. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Premanande.